Sounds like we've got some competition out there. Good evening, everyone. Pleasant greetings to you. I'd like to, first of all, welcome those who may not be members of the United Church of God, but are visiting with family and friends here. This is the opening night. We always enjoy getting together just as a foretaste of what we're going to be involved with throughout the feast. And, of course, I'd like to just ask that the blessing of Almighty God be upon all of you during this feast, that you'll take care of yourself. Make sure that you don't do excess enjoyment called feasting, because that means you have to come to anointing counseling, where Mr. Parks and I don't want to see you. We don't want you visiting us. We want you to stay healthy. We want you to stay strong and just enjoy the feast in every way, shape, and form. Wow, where do we begin? We have a wonderful opportunity each and every year, by the grace of God, to gather and remember what these very special holy days are all about. Without these holy days, you and I would not have a clue as to what's going on in the world around us. We have just witnessed one of the most terrifying things to transpire in the early part of this week in Las Vegas, Nevada. And certainly you need to be praying for all our fellow Americans who found themselves just wanting to go and have a wonderful time with fellow human beings who enjoyed a concert that was given to help other people who had gone through terrible trials and problems in their own lives, and so they were trying to help. But what ended up happening is that we had a individual deranged who had apparently planned that thing very carefully and then just literally cut people down. It indicates once again, the world we live in is not a good world. In fact, you might think about it in this way. You and I have a wonderful opportunity, and I'm just going to hit the highlights and do some reviewing tonight with you before we get into the real specifics tomorrow. But this is just a forerunner. So I hope those of you who may be new to the United Church of God will bear with me and listen carefully. And I'll try to explain some of these things that you may not be aware of, because the vast majority of mankind is not aware of what's really happening in the world we live in. Only a handful of us have been privileged by the hand of Almighty God to be called out at this time to have, as the Bible would say, eyes to see and ears to hear. The vast majority of mankind at this time do not have eyes to see, and they do not have ears to hear. They're too busy doing other things, and it is validated in the Scripture, as the book of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9 reminds us, that the adversary of mankind, who we know to be Satan the devil, as revealed in the pages of the Scripture, he is so clever, he has deceived the whole world. And it's amazing that the vast majority of mankind cannot stop and think and say, how does he do that? How does he deceive us? Because you and I have been just as deceived as our fellow human beings in the world in which we live. But you and I have been called out of this world into a very special relationship that we're going to be discussing all throughout this feast. Many of the elders and those who are going to speak to you are going to cover some very important information that you need to keep in mind, not only here at this feast, but take it with you throughout the coming year. I've entitled this message that I'm just going to give to you tonight, Thy Kingdom Come. Thy Kingdom Come. Why do we pray according to the words of Jesus in Matthew 6 and verse 10? We are admonished to pray after this manner. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, obviously it's not being done on earth at this time as it's done in heaven. But we're here for a very special reason. You and I have been touched by the hand of Almighty God. You might not stop to think about that in the unique way it has happened. But we've all come from a variety of circumstances in our background. And each and every one of us, who never would have known one another, are suddenly brought together in a unique phenomenon that is called conversion. We were converted to a different way of thinking. We weren't thinking now like we used to think. And what we thought was maybe foolishness, we find out it's not foolishness, but it's life-giving. And the things that we once embraced, we don't embrace those things anymore. Because we've been called out of this world, which means you've got to get away from the tree, because if you're so close to the tree, you can't see the forest. And when you back away from it and then get your objectivity by the Spirit of God working with you at beginning and then ultimately leading you to conversion where it comes into your life and you become a converted man and woman of God, you begin to see things that most people can't see. In fact, they think you're a little bit strange, because why would you do this? Why would you keep this thing called the Feast of Tabernacles? What in the world is that? They haven't got a clue. But your eyes have been opened to see the importance of this festival. That's why you're here. And so I want to emphasize certain things now in the time we have remaining. And then it goes in this following manner. We are here, and it's been said in the opening prayer, I believe, we are here to learn. This is a learning feast experience. Please understand that. You're not here to just sit in a chair and just idle the time away, so to speak, and you just go eat and drink and everything. If you take the essence of these messages that we are going to be exposed to from the Word of God, if you leave that out, your life is empty. You're just like the rest of the world. You just eat, drink, and tomorrow you die. But when you understand what you've been called to, this is the spiritual underpinning of these holy days. This is what makes them come alive. And you and I have been called to one of the most joyous understandings that you could possibly have. Today, people are haunted by terrible problems and difficulties. Many of them are suffering from post-traumatic stress in the physical world. And as I gave a sermon here recently, many of us in the Church of God spiritually have been under post-traumatic stress. And when we understand why this has been a process whereby God is doing a work in progress in all of our lives, we begin to grasp why it is important to be here. And the reason we're here is to learn. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. This is where we'll begin. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. The Apostle Peter understood that this was a priority, something that all of us would have to be mindful of. And so in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, he made the following statement: But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. Amen. What Peter is telling us is that we as men and women, young and old alike, called to the knowledge of God's ways, we are here to learn from the Word of God and then be trained in the ways of God. It's not a matter of just learning, but we have to be trained in the ways of God, because this is what this festival is all about. There's coming a day when the world is going to have to learn and be trained in the ways of God, like you and I are learning and being trained in the ways of God now. Everything in life is a learning and training process. I don't know if you stop to think about that. If you're going to be in, say, if I were to use the example of the military, what do they do when they take a person and bring them into the military service? Well, the first thing they do is they give them exposure to what they're going to have to learn to be a good soldier. And then they're going to have to practice and keep practicing and learning so that training becomes second nature to them. If it's a fireman, if it's a policeman, if it's a pilot in an airplane wanting to learn how to fly, a good attitude is wonderful, but a good attitude won't get you off the ground. You're going to have to learn avionics. You're going to have to learn what to do to get that plane off the ground. And aren't we grateful when we get in an airplane that that guy knows what he's doing? I know the computer has a great part in it, but still he has to have the override, just like that plane that went down in the Hudson River, and that pilot had to know from his training how to get those people off that plane safely. Well, you and I are called of God to learn the ways of God, because we didn't grow up learning the ways of God. We learned the ways of the world. We had a different father than the father we now know. Jesus said to the Pharisees in his day, he says, "You are of your father the devil and his works. That's what you like to do." He said, "If you had known me, you would understand." So we have to learn, as it says here, to grow. Now, life is a growing experience. Look at how all of us have come through life. Many of you have small children now. They're in the early stage of maturation and growing. And many of us have gone through that, as we say, been there, done that. So here we are, learning. And you never stop learning all the days of your life. The day you stop learning is the day you die. And God didn't call us to die. He called us to live. He's the God of the living, not the God of the dead. He's going to solve many problems and difficulties that haunt mankind today. But that's why we're here, to learn how is he going to do that? And what is our part in that great dynamic that he is doing? And what we learn is that, first of all, we have to be exposed to the Word of God, get it in here with the help of God's Spirit, embrace it, love it, make it a part of you, never let it go. Because if you depart from it, you have no place to go where you will find salvation. Salvation is from God, and that's why we're told we have to grow in grace. Notice grace comes first, doesn't it? It doesn't say grow in knowledge, it says grow in grace. There's a reason for that. Because when we as individuals are in the growing process, what do? Many of the things we learn, let me just cite the example of the Sabbath. Seventh day. Many people now are discovering the importance of the seventh-day Sabbath. Many people don't understand the significance of that. They think it's Jewish, as many of us have maybe thought the same in years ago. But we realize when Leviticus 23 is read, Moses tells the people, these are my feast days. And if you'll go back, you'll read the very first one starts not with Passover, but the weekly Sabbath. You're introduced to the Sabbath first, and then the annual festivals come online. So all of this plays a very important part. And the reason why we have to grow is because as we're exposed to these things, it's like a child learning how to walk for the first time. If you've never done it, it's difficult. A child tries to get up on his feet and he stumbles. And you do what? You encourage him. Get up again. Come on, you can do it. And the child gets up. Finally, once the child gets the feel, and then you can't stop him. He's going to go everywhere. Now you're going to have to chase him. But that's just the way it is. That's called growth. Well, in this particular case, and the reason it says growth is because, you know, we don't do it perfectly, do we? If we could do everything perfectly, it'd be a cinch, but we don't. We have to learn by experience, so we stumble. We didn't learn how to keep the Sabbath holy, the way God said to do it. Oh, we kept the Sabbath, but he said keep it holy. Now that's quite a chore in a world that doesn't keep anything holy and sacred. So here you have a very important thing that God is telling us. He helps us by his grace. You know, it says we are saved by grace through faith. And that grace that God gives us is to encourage us, keep at it. Keep at it. Don't give up. Keep up. Come on, you can do it. Get up off your feet. Come on, you can do it. He's always encouraging us to go forward. You'll notice in the scripture, he never says, go backwards. He says, remember Lot's wife. She looked back, what happened to her? God is a forward-moving being, and he wants you and I to go through eternity in a forward motion with him. It's the most exciting journey that you could possibly understand when you begin to, in the smallest ways. I can't even put in words, dear brother. Beloved brethren of God, I cannot put in words what I'm trying to fully explain to you. What a journey we have been called. It's a priceless chance of a lifetime to get in on the ground floor of the kingdom of God. Not everybody is being called to this. Many are called, but few are chosen. Are you the many? No, we're the few, aren't we? Despise not the day of small things. God works, he sorts the hearts of men before his judgment seat. And what we're doing, We're learning as we grow. And as we grow, God does what? He adds more knowledge. And every year we keep these feasts, we grow deeper and deeper in the understanding of God. We are learning His ways. Why is that? Because we have to practice these things. You have to practice at keeping the Sabbath. Practice at keeping the holy days. Practice tithing. Practice all the things. The food laws. Anything else that God advises us to do. Because we are to assist, according to the Scripture, the Son of God, when He comes to establish His kingdom, which we are praying for, Thy kingdom come. We're not praying, Thy kingdom stay where it is. It's coming to the earth. And you and I can't be a part of it if we have not learned or been trained in the ways of God. And if that doesn't mean anything to you, then verily you have your reward. If it means something to you, then grow in the grace and knowledge of God with the power of His Holy Spirit. That's what He's telling us to do. Keep our eyes straight forward and don't let anything distract us. He told us that we were to pray, Thy kingdom come, and His will be done. And that's referring to God. And ultimately, God's will be done. We know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 tells us, flesh and blood, which we are, cannot enter the kingdom of God, the literal kingdom of God. You see, right now, the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom of God. But it's going to come to the earth and be a literal kingdom of God. And so we understand that what is a kingdom? Well, we've had the kingdoms of this world. We've had Babylon. We've had Medo-Persia, Greece, and we have Rome. And Rome is in its final stages now. And you look and see these events that are happening in this crazy world that we're living in, and you begin to realize time marches on. And are we marching on with it? Are we moving in the same direction God wants us to go? There is an aspect of prophecy that deals with the physical things that God is doing with the physical descendants of Israel in this end time. And there are prophecies that deal with the spiritual church of God, of which we are a part of. And this is something that God wants us to treasure, like a pearl of great price, which is the summary of it could be said, is in the life of Jesus Christ. The more we know of Him, because notice, it's grace, and then the knowledge of who? Jesus Christ. Study those Gospels. How did Jesus do it? When did He speak? When did He not speak? How did He conduct Himself? How are we to conduct ourselves? We are to be kings and priests of the Melchizedek priesthood. We're not going to be in the kingdom of God teaching our ways. We're teaching God's ways, and we have to learn of God's ways. And if we don't understand those ways, we need to ask, we need to seek, and we need to knock, and the door will be open. God has promised to do that for us, and we have a part to do, to stay active and involved in the things of God. We know in Acts chapter 3, 19 through 23. That's Acts 3, 19 through 23. It tells us that in that pivotal time when Christ returns, there's going to be a tremendous transformation taking place in the world. Now we see a lot of things going on right now in our world where we're told we need to have new infrastructure. We saw what happened to Puerto Rico and how it was devastated. They don't have to worry about the Great Tribulation. They're already in Great Tribulation. And when you see how the world and how the Israelite nations of the Bible, if you know who Israel is, you're understanding some things about prophecy most people haven't got a clue. Because they think all Israel is that little nation over there in the Mideast that's governed by the Jewish nation. But if you understand who the real key is, and you understand why this is a pivotal text for us to understand, this is what we're being trained for. And there are going to be people who are going to be tugging on, as we say, your hem of your garment, and they're going to be asking what? Well, now we hear that, that the Lord is with you. Of course, that'll be the Jewish people. They'll be reinstated to their service, and we will have our service also. But to teach the ways of God, you know, you can't teach what you haven't learned. That's why the feast is so important. It's not eating and drinking. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. That's just a wonderful blessing God throws in. He gives us an opportunity to fellowship and to talk and visit with one another, because we've all been called to the same battle. We're all fighting the good fight of faith. We don't have the answers to everything. If you had the answers to everything, you wouldn't need God. So God gives you just enough to teach you what you need to know. Know this, that I am God, and be still. Your confidence and trust is in God, not in what other people can say or do. Nobody can save you. I can't save you. You can't save me. Only God can save us through Jesus Christ. And when you understand, when you, as we say, take the plunge in baptism, you become the doulos of Jesus Christ, the purchased property and bondservant of Almighty God's wonderful Son whom He sent to us. And because of that, you and I have a wonderful future. And you can come and rejoice at the Feast of Tabernacles, because you know it's not going to be just with us. We're just the first fruits in this dynamic plan. But the greatest element of God's harvest is yet ahead for the rest of the world. Christ died for everyone, not just us. And mankind has a hard time understanding, where was God? Where was that God of love we keep hearing about when that terrible man was doing all the things he did over there in Las Vegas? And God was always there. He was there. But He gave mankind free moral agents. And He says, you must choose life or death. God didn't cause that to happen. Yeah, He allowed it. But that man took it upon himself to terminate the lives of many people, many whom he didn't even know. But we know that there is a power behind the scenes that would like to terminate all human beings, and especially the saints of God who are in the crosshairs of that wicked one that roams the earth seeking whom he may devour. And don't think he doesn't know who you are. This is his world. And he roams it constantly. He wants to see, are these people called of God? Are they learning his ways? Or can I seduce them with my false spirit army? Can I seduce them to go a different way? Can I give them a new truth? Make them feel like they know something nobody else knows. And if they embrace on that, their pride and their vanity will make them feel good and say, well, I know something you don't know. You see, brethren, you and I are in the fight of our life. It's a fight against the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and we are full of it. It's with us all the time. And we are constantly being seduced by the world we live in, and God says you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith and come out of her. It's not going to be easy, but He says, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm in the fight with you. And if you ask me, I will help fight that fight for you. Remember when a man, in these biblical examples that are given, and my mind's just going over all kinds of things as I talk to you right now. I see these examples that are written, like Hezekiah, when he was surrounded by the Assyrians. The Assyrian army came in. They had just wiped out one after another of all the different nations round about. They had taken out northern Israel. Now they're coming down on Judah. And Hezekiah doesn't know what to do. And then he runs to the temple and he cries out, God, look, this is what they're out to do. They wiped out all the other gods of these nations. Now they're coming down here. Help us, please. And then you have this marvelous story that is there for our learning. Hezekiah and all of Judah are hanging in the balance. That night, Assyrian soldiers went to sleep. 185,000 of them, and they never saw the sunrise the next day. The angel of the Lord went in and annihilated the opposition. And that's what God wants you to understand. That we fight all kinds of hidden enemies, things that we don't even see and understand. It says in Ephesians 6, we fight against these principalities the wicked spirits in high places, things we don't even understand. But one thing we can understand, that God, who has made us in His image, male and female, and He didn't make any mistakes about that, and that's He's going to make that very clear when His kingdom is established. There won't be any in-betweens or God made me this way or God made me that way. He made you a specific way. If you're a man, you're a man. If you're a woman, you're a woman. And you are co-heirs unto glory, honor, and immortality by the power and the hand of Almighty God. And that should make you absolutely thank God from the bottom of your heart. He didn't make any mistakes. Not with any of us. It's just that we haven't understood. And that's why we're here tonight. To learn. To grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're going to hear a lot of messages. Things that are designed to help us understand. That we live in a world of suffering. And God wants us to have the love and the compassion that is necessary for all people, not just people in the Church of God, but all people. When you see a hurricane that can come through and just devastate, how fast life can just be turned upside down in a flash. Be thankful to God for everything, for every breath you breathe, for every opportunity to say, I love you, to your mate, if you're a married person. And if you have friends and family, let them see the love of God shed abroad in your heart as you reach out to your fellow human beings who Jesus Christ died for. And He made it very clear. He said, don't put a bushel basket over your head. You got nothing to be ashamed of. Let the light of your wonderful Spirit of God working in your life shine, that others may see your good works. Why? What good works? Are those good works going to save you? No, but they're required of you, because that's what you're made. You're made to do good works. You're saved by grace through faith, but those good works are a testimony to God's Spirit working in your life because you chose to embrace the Spirit of God. And God says in Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, but know this, that it is God who works in you to accomplish His will and His purpose. And then it goes on to say, do all things without murmuring. Don't complain. I got nothing to complain about. But everything in our human nature complains, don't we? Something, lights go out. We have to sit in darkness for a little while. I'm missing my television program. This isn't good. See, people worry about things like that. You get down to the basics. Life is a very simple thing. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is the whole man and the whole woman. May you be blessed with a wonderful night's sleep tonight. I'm going to cut it short. Go home, rest, come back tomorrow. Be hungering and thirsting for the Word of God, and God will fill you with what you need.